Okay. We begin this evening straight, going straight in. We're looking at Perek Mem Vav, which is chapter 46 of Bereishit, one of the very, very last chapters of the book of Bereishit. If you'll open it up.
I thought we were going to do it.
We will! We'll work! We'll work! Well, it had a change of plan from Miriam, but we're close to Miriam. Hi, welcome back. Next week we're going to get to Miriam next week. I wanted to do Yochadet first. Okay. We're looking at Perek Mem Vav, chapter 46. You could just read along in the English for a moment. And I would like you to discover a mistake. If you can't discover the mistake, I'll point it out to you.
Mem
Vav 46. Whatever is your preferred language.
Where are we?
Well, you may or you may not. If you don't find it, which I'm expecting that you might not, it took me quite a bit of time myself to find it. But if you do, when I'll help you through. Yeah, a mistake. Either one. It's a content mistake, not a language mistake. So it doesn't matter what language you read it in. We're gonna pause our thing here. Okay, our list of people. I couldn't fit it all on one overhead, but take a look here and you'll see what we have here. How many people all together went down to the No, that's of Leah, B'nai Leah. In the parts that you read, in the source that you read in your Chumash, the answer is not on the overhead. How many people in total went down to Mitzrayim?
72.
Look in, what did you say, Sheila? 70. That's what, okay. I thought that
70.
Okay, as you can see in Pasuk 26 and 27, Ubenei Yosef Asher Yulando B'Mitzrayim Nefesh Shanayim Kol Nefesh Lebei Yaakov B'Mitzrayim Shiv'im. 70 people came down to Egypt. Keep your finger here also, and you can turn the pages to the beginning, the first, very, very beginning of Shemot. Page 292 and 293, Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Yaakov, all of the children of who came out of Yaakov were Shib'im Nefesh. 70 people. 70 Jewish people went down to Mitzrayim. Definition of Jewish? Thank you so much. Definition of Jewish being descendant of Yaakov at this point. Okay. Let's count. I copied this exactly from my Tanakh that I have on the CD. One. And the Torah divides it up for us by people. Start at the end. Okay? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. How many people from B'nai Bilha? The Torah tells us seven. Now we have from B'nai Rachel. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Corresponding with our number 14. So far, 7 and 14 altogether. 21. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Corresponds with the number that the Torah gives us. 16, 21 plus 16 gives us... Anybody math? 37? Okay, 37. How many more do we have to go? From 37 to 70, we have 33. 37 to 70, we have 33. We need to add 33 more people. And indeed, the Torah tells us the only wife left is whom? Leah, right? We already counted the children of Bilha. The children of Zilpah, the children of Rachel, now we're up to the children of Leah. And the Torah D tells us there are 33 children of Leah. So here we go, including Dinah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Not counting these two because they died. They're listed in here, and it's also that they died. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Did I miss count? Let's try from the top down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Again, not counting these two. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, you count it. This is why I thought that you weren't going to get it, because I know you're all tired and you're not going to sit there counting to see. Okay, so I said 70. Must have listed 78. Fine. What a trick.
Joseph wasn't there.
Joseph is on this list.
Yeah, but he's going to go down. You are here already.
Okay, so that's our second question. That's going to be our second question. Our first question is, if it seems from here that 70 people went down from time, who is included in this list? Not only Yosef, but Yosef's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, also included in this list. Ephraim and Manasseh never, ever, ever set foot out of Mitzrayim.
So why are they on the list?
What? Yosef is on the list? Okay, let's go back to the beginning of Shemot that I showed you just a moment ago. And let's redefine, let's re-ask our question. Now, in that same passage that I read you, verse 5, it doesn't say that it was 70 people who came out of, that who came down from Mitzrayim. Rather, the English translation says, all of the person who emerged from Jacob's loins, all of his children, came out to 70. So fine, all together, 70 people in Yaakov's family. That's how we could answer Zoya's question. Very astute question. However, and even, I'll take you one step further. Go back to page 260. Verse 26, Pasuk Chavav, Kol Nefesh, Haba'al Yaakov Mitzrayma. The Torah tells us how many people came with Yaakov to Mitzrayim, Yotei Yerecho, who came out of his loins, Novad Neshei B'nei Yaakov, except for the wives of the sons, Kol Nefesh Yishim Vashesh. How many actually went down to Mitzrayim? 66. How many issue came forth from him? 70. How many children did he have altogether? Children, grandchildren, etc., etc. He had 70. How many came down from Mitzrayim with him? 66. We've already noticed three people from our list who are not. So 70 minus 3 leaves us 67. So we still have an extra person who isn't accounted for. This is a list of 69 people. We are told this is a list of 70 people. It's not a list of 70 people. It's a list
right here. Did you read
this? I'm not looking at the bottom. I'm not interested in the bottom.
Oh.
We can talk about the bottom another time. I do not have this commercial. I use this instead of the bottom. I know, terrible, terrible teacher I am. Okay. Fine. So here are all our problems. We have a list of 69 people that we're told is a list of 70 people. Okay?
Oh,
point number one. 1 minute. You can't talk to me. We have a list of 69 people that we're told is a list of 70 people, number one. Number two, we are told that 66 people went down to Mitzrayim, and we can account for 67 people going down to Mitzrayim. There's an extra person. There's someone who's not on the list, who seems to have not gone down to Mitzrayim, but was counted as offspring from Yaakov.
Okay, okay. No, she was born outside.
Outside of what?
Says,
can you get another chumash that doesn't have the bottom in it?
Okay. All right. Who's not on the list?
Who's Yocheved? Why do you say Yocheved? Okay, because the English, because our school told you it was Yocheved. Okay, where would we get Yocheved from? Now I'll hand out the sheets, and you can come back to your sheets if you want. We'll turn on the lights.
I'm sure your girls did much better than we did with this.
I don't teach this to them.
Oh, they love this stuff.
Oh, gosh, you should see their final.
getting those senior girls.
She told me she was home studying for your final today.
Oh, my gosh. They're such good girls.
We could never.
You know what we did last week? I did with one of my classes. I gave them a Gemara. We learned a Gemara together.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And from what was written in the Gemara, without reading Rashi, my students were able to determine what Rashi was going to say based on what the Gemara says. The Gemara gave multiple opinions, and they were able to pick which opinions Rashi was going to bring. Is that
from
me?
Gemara.
Is that from
you?
Okay. That's what I want to teach Rashi next time. Wouldn't it be fun to do Rashi? Oh, gosh, Rashi could be for years. Okay. This is mine. My notes. You can, you are taking, this is supposed to be a two-page, oh. Excuse me while I figure out what's going on here. Okay. I'm going to pass the two pages on opposite sides. Make sure at the end that you're left with two pages. One with the title and one with that. One should say page one and the other says page two. Even though it might seem more confusing this way, it's really less confusing. I want to start. I want to start with what Mrs. Torgo said, that Yocheved was born outside the walls of Mitzrayim. Where did you get that from? Other than the bottom. Did you know that beforehand?
No.
No, okay. Said that she was born outside the walls of Mitzrayim. If she was born outside the walls of Mitzrayim, then was she born in Mitzrayim or out of Mitzrayim? If she was born outside the walls of Mitzrayim, she was born outside, which would mean that she would be included in the list of the family who came down into Mitzrayim, because she would have entered Mitzrayim with the family. Correct? Take a look in source number six. This is from Bamidbar. This I just taught my students. This is from Bamidbar. There's a list. We're talking about dividing up the land of Israel. Jews are about to enter the land of Israel. The land of Israel is being divided. So we have a list of the family of Levi. The same Ash and Amram. Amram is the, as you, we saw in this list over here, I mean, I sort of went through it very quickly, but Amram is one of the four sons of Levi. Is one of the, sorry, four sons of Kehat, who's a grandson of Levi. Amram was a grandson of Levi. Same Ash and Amram, Yocheved bat Levi. Amram, who's a grandson of Levi, was married to Yocheved, who's a daughter of Levi. Asher yalda ota lelevi b'mitrayim. That she was born to Levi, where?
In Mitzrayim.
In Mitzrayim.
So she wasn't included, she shouldn't have been included in the study.
Right, which means that Levi had four children, Gershom, Kehat, Merari, and Yocheved. We're really confused over here, right? Okay. Look in source number. We don't look at the bottom. The bottom is going to tell you. No, the list isn't the list.
You don't want to look at Levi's descendants?
No, you can look at the list of Levi's descendants in the Psukim. But the look of Levi, and the look of Levi's, if you look at the descendants here, it has Yocheved listed as Levi's descendant. Right, but that's number six also. That's source number six. Just tells you that she was Levi's daughter. Fine. Which also tells you that Amram married his
aunt.
Yes. Or if I were still living in Connecticut, he married his aunt. Okay. They don't say aunt in Canada?
No.
They don't say, they say aunt. I was told the roots of Connecticut. And the aunt grows on the crawls on the ground, and the aunt is the sister of your parents. Okay. All right. Now, let's go back to source number two. Rashi asks this question. Okay. The Torah says 33 people were descendants of Leah. Right? Okay. That says Rashi, I'm going to count. And indeed, that's what I did today at 11 o'clock this morning. When I had no seniors in my class, because they're all in their chemistry final or whatever final, and as soon as I saw it said 33, I'm like, okay, I'm going to count. And I counted and came up with 32. And that's what Rashi did. He came up with 32. He says, ubifratan, in the detailed accounts, if you count them, you only count 32. Ella Zoyocheved. Who's number 33? Shenolda Bein Hachomot Bechnishatan La'ir. Not that she was born outside the walls, she was born between the walls. Okay? Shenamar, as the Torah tells us later on in our source number 6, Asher Yaldau told the lady the Mitzrayim that she was born to a lady in Mitzrayim. Leidatcha b'Mitzrayim. Her birth was in Mitzrayim, ve'ein horatcha b'Mitzrayim, but her pregnancy was not in Mitzrayim. Isn't that something to me?
Let's say that again.
Her birth, she was born in Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
She was born in Mitzrayim, between the walls. No, she was born in Mitzrayim even. The Torah tells her she was born in Mitzrayim. Source number 6 says, in Mitzrayim. Well, she was born even though they lived in Goshen.
Right.
You know, could
what
be...
What are ramparts?
Those are the parts on the walls or the ramparts we watched.
She was between the walls when they entered the city.
Right. But if she was considered that she was born in Mitzrayim. She was not born in Canaan. She was not born in Eretz Yisrael with all the rest of her brothers and uncles and nephews. Yes, she was. Yes, exactly. That's what the Midrash tells us.
Mm-hmm.
And Rashi doesn't get it from nowhere. As we see in source number 4, Rashi's source, in the Gemara Bava Batra, Kos Yotet, Amud Aleph, page 119a, that should be 119b to 120a. You can switch your dots. Supposed to be 2 dots on the first one and 1 dot in the second one. Kof Yotet, 2 dots means I'm a bet. Kof Chaf, we can do that one another time with Gemara skills. But I called my husband up today. I said, I have something to answer your wish list. He said, what? I said, a Gemara Bava Basra in the medium size. He said, what? I said, it's the only one we don't have in our set in the basement. We have the huge ones upstairs, and then in the basement I have the medium size, but that one got missing. Is anyone else warm in here? Okay, because I turned the heat up because it was freezing before.
It's comfortable here.
It's 72.
I get warm when I teach, but okay. Here's what the Gemara says. He asks an unbelievable question. Vayelech ishim beit Levi vayikachet bat Levi. He goes back. I know I'm going all over the place. Go back to source number 3. Now I'm on 3. Now I'm on 3. Okay? 3 is chapter 2 of Shemot. And we could look there because we're going to be going back and forth between chapters 1 and 2. You see, I told you we wouldn't be in Bereishit for long. Cairo tells the Jewish people to kill all the firstborn males. Firstborn sons, kill them, throw them into the water. And the beginning, I'm on page 296 and 297, the first verse in chapter 2, Vayelech ish mi beit Levi, a man came from the house of Levi, Vayikach et bat Levi, and he took a daughter of Levi. One came from the house of Levi, married a woman who was a daughter of Levi, and this woman gave birth to a son. And if you would read further in the story, you know that this son is Moshe. And to do a little, I don't remember which is inductive and which is deductive reasoning, but you do one of them by looking in our source number 6, talking about Amram, the man Amram, married the daughter of Levi, Yocheved, and together had 3 children, Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam, which that is not their age order. It's Miriam, Aaron, Moshe is their age order. So we know that since this is the story of the birth of Moshe, that this daughter of Levi is Yochabed, and the man from the house of Levi is Amram. So Rashi and the Gemara ask this question. Okay, I have a problem. Source number 4, says the Gemara, there's a problem. A man comes from the house of Levi, marries a daughter of Levi, a bat Levi. Ashar bat mea uslashim shana. The Karala Bat. How could you have a woman who's 130 years old and you're calling her a bat? A young lady. It doesn't say he married a woman, the daughter of Levi. He married a young lady, the daughter of Levi. How could you call a woman? Okay, but this is the Gemara. This is the Gemara. You can look in. What? Well, let's compute her age. How did the Gemara, I read this Gemara and I said, how do they know she's 130 years old and she gave birth to Moshe? Let's work backwards. How old was Moshe, 1 minute, how old was Moshe when they left Mitzrayim? Anybody?
80.
Moshe was 80 when they left Mitzrayim. How many years altogether were the Jews in Mitzrayim doing heavy work for?
210.
210 years in Mitzrayim. There's a lot of math tonight. I'm sorry. We'll move away from it in a moment. My head is buzzing from it myself. Moshe was 80 years old at the end of a 210-year period in Mitzrayim. Subtract 80 from 210, you get 130. We know she was born coming into Mitzrayim. For this, I really needed an overhead, but I don't have the right on kind. So.
Okay,
there we go. There we go. Here's Yochaved.
So it's the beginning of the
born when they came into Mitzrayim.
Okay,
that's the beginning. They're in Mitzrayim for a total of 210 years, right?
Okay.
At this point, here we have our little Yochaved. At this point, Moshe
is 80.
Is 80. Right? 80 years before that is 130 years into, whoops, backwards, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 130 years into is 130 years into their time in Mitzrayim. Therefore, Yochaved is 130 years old when Moshe is born. If she was born when they first came into Mitzrayim, and 130 years later is when the math works out to when Moshe was born, because she was 80 when they left. So she was 130 when Moshe was born.
Wow.
That's what the Gemara tells us.
But, you know...
Wait a minute!
Yeah.
Let's continue the Gemara. Let's continue the Gemara. The Amar of Chama, how do we know that she was 130 when he was born? The only way you can say she was 130 when he was born is if you say she was born when they came into Mitzrayim. So that's where the Gemara goes from here. The Amar of Chama Bar Chanina, Rav Chama Bar Chanina says, Zo Yocheved, this Yocheved, this woman Yocheved, Shoharata Baderach, that she was conceived and her, she was in the womb on the way, Benolda Bein HaChamot, and she was born between the walls. Dechtiv, as the Torah says, Asher Yalda Otar Lady B'Mitzrayim. She was born to Levi in Mitzrayim. Le'edatha b'Mitzrayim v'horatasha lo b'Mitzrayim. Her birth, actual birth was in Mitzrayim, but her pregnancy, her time, her gestation period was out of Mitzrayim, was not when she was in Mitzrayim.
Right.
And why is she called a bat? Then later on, the Gemara explains, because she still was had beautiful, smooth, soft skin, and she was beautiful at age 130, which would sort of explain why all of a sudden this man is marrying her at 130.
How old was he?
He's how many men, no matter how old they are, do you find marrying a 130-year-old woman?
Well, maybe
she was actually married before that. Moshe is the third child.
Yeah.
And he was born supposedly when she's 130.
Yes.
So when was Miriam born? When was Aaron born?
How much older than, how do I know that Moshe was the third child?
Well, we know that Miriam was out watching for
now. Okay, and what about Aaron? What about, how do you know she was sick?
I don't know, I just think she was sick.
How much older than Moshe was Aaron?
Three.
3 years older, because when they left Mitzrayim, he was 8, Moshe was 80, Aaron was 83. Okay?
How old was she? I don't know, just in my head that she was...
We'll talk about it next week, maybe. I don't know.
I think she was
so whatever.
Here, look. Just a minute.
Okay. Now.
Cheryl, Miriam.
I want to introduce... You got it, you know, I'm going to like paint a piece of paper over the bottom for you. My goodness. Okay. Don't let someone else think for you. Okay. I want to introduce you to someone.
Okay.
Name of Abraham Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra was his last name. Ezra was not his father's name. I think his father's name was like Yitzchak or something like that. Abraham Ibn Ezra lived in Spain in the 12th century. He was Spanish. He was Sephardic. He lived a little bit after Rashi. A little bit after Rashi. Now, Rashi, if you might have noticed, and you might not have noticed, that almost every single time I bring you Rashi, I also bring you the Midrash that Rashi's getting it from. Rashi, the Midrash was written, as we've mentioned this class before, also I think a few times, the Midrash was written in the time of the Gemara, which means we're talking around 500 CE. Rashi, coming along 600 years later, in his brilliance, looked at these vast collections of Midrashim, chose the ones that he felt fit in best with the smooth reading of the contextual story in the Torah, and that's what he prints for us in his Parshanot, in his commentary. 70% of Rashi's commentary is, and I think that's even a conservative estimate, 70% of Rashi's commentary is not original from Rashi. He's quoting it either directly from the Midrash, or the idea is definitely very clearly coming from the Midrash.
Who are you talking about, Ibn Ezra?
For a minute. So that was Rashi. Ibn Ezra, oh, you have your thing from last time. That's good.
Well, how do we keep track of
it? Yeah. So Ibn Ezra comes along, and he's like, you know what? The Midrash is all nice and good, but it's very often quite fanciful and fantastic and sort of out there. You know, so he needs to sort of, his goal in his commentary is to sort of bring us back to what's actually written in the text, which means that when he does bring the Midrash, it's that more unbelievable and amazing. It's something like, wow, because he almost never holds back by the Midrash. Midrash to him are nice stories. It's not going to help me explain. Okay, so he's not going to help me explain exactly what's in the Torah. So that's what Ibn Ezra said. Now, Ibn Ezra looks at this, and he gives a lot of different interpretations. First, he says, okay, some guy said, what's the big deal, 70, 69? You list 69 people, it says 70 people. It's an estimate. It's, 70 is rounding up the nearest tens and, you know, whatever. That's what he says. That's one interpretation. He said, but the problem is not in the 70 and the 69. The problem is in the 32 and the 33. Because if you remember, it wasn't just that there are 69 people when the Torah says 70. There are 32 people when the Torah says 33. There's a reason, I understand, to round up from 69 to 70, but no reason to round up from 32 to 33. So that guy, he says, forget it. He's out the window. And now I'm looking at the third line of source, number 5, the third word from the end, uvidrash. But the Midrash tells us, ki Yocheved nolda ben hachomot, that Yocheved was born between the walls, and she is the 70th, she is the 33rd person, rather. This one is also unusual. This is like a weird kind of answer. Lama lo hiskira katuv ha-pela shenasayim asha holida Moshe v'hi bat kufra mitzana. If she was born when they went into Israel, into Mitzrayim, and she was 130 when Moshe was born. Why doesn't the Torah tell us this? This is an unbelievable miracle for a 130-year-old woman to give birth to a child. He says, "V'lama hiskir devar Sarah shehaita bat tishim." The Torah goes out of its way to describe Sarah. You mentioned Sarah, right? The Torah goes out of its way to describe Sarah's experience as a mature woman giving birth to a child at age 90. Of course, if Yocheved really gave birth to Moshe at 130, like that's something that we sort of need to know. That's an age. That's a miracle. Something that's found to be written in the Torah. This is Ibn Ezra's thing. Isn't it fantastic? His thinking is just like right on the mark. Okay. Melodai lanu zehatsa'ar. What did you say?
She's questioning that she was on.
Is it true? It doesn't matter if it's true.
That's a lot of miracles.
This is the point. This is what we're going to go back to, is why are we, like, what's the point of this midrash? Because I'm a big one to the point of this midrash person. Okay. The low dialogue is a hatsire. If this wasn't enough, we have more tzara, she says. We have more problems. Atra sup haitanim piyutim v'yom simchat Torah yocheven imi acharei tanchumi v'hi ba'reish non shama. The people who write the... the Piyutim. The songs, the extra songs that we sing on certain Yamim Tovim. Right, so here on Simchas Torah he says that they wrote a Piyut about Yocheved, mourning over the death of Moshe, which would make her really old, you know, like, what's going on here, he says. So if you look, I didn't underline a few, but on the second to last line, the last three words, he says, Derech Agadah, Odi Be'yachid. You know, he says, It's a Baba Misa. Take it as it is.
It is.
It's a single opinion. So who does he think is
the
missing person?
Say it's a Baba Misa.
Derek Agada. Not a Baba Misa. Not a Baba Misa.
Listen, Agada.
1 minute. It's a Midrash. Not a Baba Misa that this is a grandmother's tale that the grandmother's made up.
Right.
But this is something that the Midrash wrote for a particular reason. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be applied literally. Okay. And Agada is a Midrash.
Yeah, I know.
And his answer for this whole thing is, who's the 70th person? Yaakov himself. 69 plus 1 Yaakov. Nice even 70 number. He brings you two proofs, which I didn't bring you here, but very clear cut, very simple, you know, straightforward. He was a grammarian, as you can tell. Everything fits into its proper slot. Okay, so now I want to go back for a moment. Wow. So what's the purpose of the Midrash? I was reading, I have a collection, I told you about this last week, I think, the Torah Shlema, which is, I have 22 volumes of it, which takes me through the end of Bamidbar. There's three parshiot in each volume. But it has the Chumash on it, and Rashi, and the Midrashim. He brings like a ton of Midrashim, and then commentary on the Midrashim on the bottom. So I looked to see if he said anything on this Midrash, with the Ochavi being born in the middle of the world. Like, cause, and I said this to my husband, we went to night, I don't know, oh, we had the Shiyum in school, whatever, for my son, and we're in the car, and I met him when I got there, and I said, this Midrash is bugging me. How come they have to say that Ochavi was born? Like, what's the big deal? Why is Ochavi of all people? And why do they have to go through all these things? Why can't they say that it was Yaakov? I mean, what Ibn Ezra says makes so much sense. The 70th person is Yaakov. Why do you have to talk about that she was in the womb, her gestation period was outside of her time, she was born inside of her time? Why do you have to go through all these mental gymnastics to try to figure it out? Maybe. So Rav Kasher says, Rav Menachem Kasher, he's the one who wrote the little commentary on the bottom, he says, this shows you how the Torah is pointing out that every single life is important, that Yocheved, even in utero, was counted. Is that something?
Yeah, but they don't believe in abortion.
Well, abortion is a separate issue. Abortion has nothing to do with murdering as much as, has much less to do with murdering than it has with self-mutilation. As my husband explained, just like you can't, you're not allowed to just cut off your arm, a child that's growing inside you and attached to you has the same kind of status. He says, that's the short answer of it. But the point here is that, like, each life is so precious and so important that even in utero she's counted. Isn't that, it's like, wow, to my mind. Okay, now we're going to go to some other Midrashim. Something else. Now, all this Torah stuff that we know about Yocheved is on this page that I showed you. I gave you, what did I have? She was born in Mitzrayim. She was married to Amram, who was her nephew. She was the mother of Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe.
She was 103.
Possibly. Well, that's not from the Torah. That's from the Midrash.
Right.
So that's all we know about her from the Torah. And that she nursed Moshe. We think. Maybe. We're assuming.
They
from source number three.
They all knew.
From source. I know, but Moshe. No, no, no. That's not what I meant. When Moshe was with Bat Paro, Miriam gets sent to
take him to be nursed.
Yes, and she brings her mother. Right. Okay. Listen, so that's what, but that's what the Torah says. The Torah says that Yocheved nursed Moshe even while he was growing up in the house of Paro. Because Zatya recognized that he needed, Rashi tells us, he wasn't taken from any of the Egyptian women. He would cry when he went to any of the Egyptian women. He wouldn't take from them. So she called Miriam over and she said, find me a Jewish lady. Miriam, knowing what was going on, had Yocheved come.
Yes.
So Yocheved, okay. So that's all we know about Yocheved from the Torah. Really not a whole huge group of information here. But we know about some other women that could possibly be connected to Yocheved. And source number 8. Vayomer Melech I blocked off. I'm reading from the part that I blocked off. We're talking now from when the work got really, really hard. The Gemara tells us this is the point when the men, when Paro switched the jobs, when the men were doing women's work and the women were doing men's work. Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim Lamayal Dot HaEviot. The Melech Mitzrayim, the King of Mitzrayim, said to the Jewish midwives, Asher Shem HaAchat Shifra B'Shem HaSheni Pua. The name of one was Shifra, the name of the other was Pua. If you want to follow along in the English, I'm on page 295. verse 15 and 16. If you don't look on the bottom, you are permitted to follow in English. He says to these midwives, Shifra and Pua, which the Torah goes out of its way to tell us their names. Mayomer, he says, when you give birth, when you assist these Jewish women in giving birth, and you see the stones. How does he explain it? And you see them on the birth stool, okay? If he's a boy, kill him. If he's a girl, if it's a girl, keep her alive. These midwives feared God or were in awe of God below Ashuk Hashir Diber Aleha Melch Mitzrayim. They didn't do what the king of Egypt told them to. They kept all their children alive. Could you imagine? What, I mean, some of you here can imagine, but I cannot imagine what it's like to be in that kind of situation and to defy the authorities like that. He calls them over. He hears that all these little Jewish boys are running around. You know, he got an invitation to an upshirin or something. And he says to these women, why did you do this and keep these children alive? They say this very cryptic answer. The Jewish women are not like the Egyptian women, they're like animals, or they're very lively. They're experts, says the English translation here. They're experts. By the time the midwife comes to them, the baby's already born. So there's nothing we can do. God did good to the midwives, and the Jewish people multiplied very much and became very strong. Because these midwives were in awe of God, God made them houses. We're going to discuss this section after we get to Miriam. When we finish Miriam, we're going to come back to the women of the Midbar. I would love to do it next week because this is a great lead into it, but I think you're all waiting for Miriam. So, could you wait one more week for Miriam? Could we just do next week this Midrash? We have to, oh my gosh. Well, we'll see. Okay. Okay, so tell her to come in 2 weeks, but tell her to come next week because it's like, and you just can't, I mean, it's unbelievable stuff next week. Just blows your mind. You know, the Midrash tells us, because of the merit of the women.
Next Monday's Erev of Yom Kippur, and the Monday after that is
Memorial. Next Monday is not Erev Yom Kippur. Tuesday is Erev Yom Kippur. Tuesday night is
Yom Kippur. And the following one is...
I'm here.
Okay, I'm here.
I'm here Monday night.
And are you doing it on Memorial Day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. We could do Lizeh for Nishmas, the American soldiers, if you want. That it was because of the women that we were able to leave Mitzrayim. And the Midrash elaborates, and it's just, oh my God. And it's together with Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is next week, right?
Yes.
No, it's this week. It's next Shabbat. It's Friday.
Right.
So next week we're going to also talk, we'll talk about those women, the women with Chet HaEgel, how they were involved in the sin of the golden calf or not involved, and then connected us
to Rosh Chodesh. Next week is not Miriam.
Next week is the women who, you know, with Yitziat Mitzrayim and that whole thing, and then the week after that we'll do
Miriam
possibly
Memorial
for
Day.
1 or 2 weeks.
You're going to do the American soldiers?
No, we could learn in their memory. But, okay.
Oh.
Wait. We have 12 minutes left. We're in what my students call motor mouth mode. Okay. Who are Shifra and Pua? The midwives. Now, the Gemara feels the need to identify them because they show up completely out of nowhere and they disappear at this point. We don't hear anything further about them, but the Torah seems to imply that it's important for us to know their names because the Torah tells us their names. Now, we don't know Yocheved's name yet because right in the next page it says, you know, a man from Levi married a daughter of Levi. Like, we don't know Yocheved's
name.
We
don't know a lot of the women's names.
But we know Shifra and Pua's names. What's going on? So the Gemara, source number 9, Gemara and Sota says... I'm starting from, you see the circle on the top line? Anytime there's a little circle in the Gemara, it means that it's quoting a pasuk. The king of Mitzrayim said to the Hebrew midwives, the Gomer, etc. Rab Ushmuel. There's a disagreement between Rab and Shmuel, as there always is, because they are learning partners. Chad Amar Isha Uvita, one, meaning the first one. Lav says that it's talking about a woman and her daughter. V'chad Amar Kala V'chamota. The other one, Shmuel, says it's a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. Manda Amar Isha Uvita, according to the opinion who says it's a mother and daughter, who are those, who's that mother-daughter team? Yocheved and Miriam. Umanda Amar Kala V'chamota, according to the opinion that says it's mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, who is it? Yocheved the Elisheba. Elisheba is her daughter-in-law, the wife of Aaron. Right. Elisheba Bat Aminadab. Yes. Okay. Or could, okay. Unless Aaron married a much, much older lady. Okay. Tanya, we learned. Kimanjam, according to the opinion, it says mother and daughter. Did Tanya Shifra Zayochabed? What if you're going to say the Chippy Zayochabed? Well, I'm going to question that Shifra. Shemeshaperet et Havlad. Why is she called Shifra? Because Shifra is to make pretty. Mm-hmm. And she beautifies, she cleans off the baby. When the baby comes out all yucky, she cleans it off. Another thing, Shifra Sheparu V'Ravu Yisrael B'Yameha. That in her days, this is another play on words. If you know the Hebrew, great. If you don't, you can go to another time, that they multiplied it. Right. But the She is a prefix. And the Fay race is a, instead of all one, instead of one, one unit, it's a breakup sign. Okay. The Lama Nikra, okay. Pua, and why is Pua called Pua? Pua is a Miriam. The Lama Nikra Shmo Pua. Shaita Pua Omotiata Vlad. That she would speak nicely while the baby was coming out to sort of coax it out. So here another opinion. Pua Shaita Pua Ruach HaKodesh. She would scream out and tear Ruach HaKodesh. She in this divine image. And she would say, Akida Inisha Tilei Ben Shemashet Israel. My mother is going to give birth to the child who will save the Jewish people. Okay, so now, this is leading us into our next point. So we have these women, which are either Yocheved and Miriam, or Yocheved and Elisheba. Who's in both of those situations? Yocheved. Okay? Either way, Yocheved was midwife. Yocheved was a woman who defied the king's decree. Mm-hmm. He said, kill all the firstborn sons. She said, sorry, Buster, no go. I am not going to be your lackey. These are precious Jewish lives. I know. I was counted. I just came up with this. This is good. I was counted in utero. I know how important every single precious life is. I'm not going to waste it. That just hit me now. Why is Yocheved of all people? Oh, my gosh. Brilliant, Midrash. Okay. So this Yocheved has this awe of God and this feeling of the oneness and the wholeness and the unbelievable power of God. And it's because of this that she defies the king's order. What reward does she get as a result?
Gives birth to Moshe.
Not just gives birth to Moshe.
She
gives
the law.
She has the opportunity even to nurse him. Even after he's left her house, the Midrash tells us in number 10, I'm starting right after the period on the first line. The woman took the son and nursed him. That's the pasuk from our source number 3. At that point, God gave her a teeny bit of her reward. That she would keep the children alive. God returns her child to her for that brief time and gave her some reward. Okay, Yocheved is a woman of principle, a woman who no matter what is going to preserve life and realize the sanctity of life. Yocheved, who gave birth to Miriam, who we saw, there's an opinion in the Gemara already, that Miriam seeing Nivlot, she's having prophecy that Yocheved is going to have a child who's the great leader of the Jewish people. And indeed in source number 11, I've brought you this source many times before, and I'll bring it to you many times again. Miriam was one of the 7 female prophets. She's right there on the list. She had Ruach HaKodesh, and we're going to talk about what was this Ruach HaKodesh, what was this divine inspiration, this image, this vision that she had when we get to Miriam in 2 weeks from now. But we know one other thing about Yocheved. She had Miriam, who was a Nevi'ah, a prophetess. In the merit of Miriam, the Jewish people had water for 40 years in the desert. 2, she had Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, the religious, spiritual leader of the Jewish people. 3, she had a child, Moshe. Moshe being the political leader of the Jewish people, the one who actually got them out of Mitzrayim, these 3 amazing children. But the Midrash tells us one more thing about her. As you mentioned before, she was married before she got married again to have Moshe. She was already married before to Miriam and Aaron. The Midrash tells us, which we'll do it inside when we get Miriam, as soon as the king of Egypt said, all the boys have to be killed, Amram said, then I really, why should we bring children into this world just to have them killed? And he divorced his wife. And what did she do during this time period? You have to look, this is unbelievable. Source number 12 tells us the story that might seem totally unrelated. The English parallel to Muslim in chapter 11 of the Midbar. I taught this this year, it's an unbelievable story. On page 11. Page 792. Moshe comes to God and he's like, God, the Jewish people want meat. God says, okay, I'll give them meat. Moshe said, I can't provide meat for them just by myself. So God says, well, take 70 people and they'll all help you be a leader together for the Jewish people. So all these 70 people come to the meeting tent and 2 people are left in the camp. What happens to these 2 people? 2 of the 70 stay behind the camp. Look at verse 26. 2 men remains behind in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the second was Medad, and the spirit rested upon them. They prophesied in the camp. All the rest of the 68 people, they're all supposed to come to the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, the place where Moshe got, had this deep connection with God, and that's where God was going to rest his presence upon them. But 2 of those 70 men remained in the camp, and that had this deep connection with God in the camp, surrounded by all the materialism and all the people and all the stuff, without being in that spiritual vacuum. They were able to have a relationship with God, to communicate with him. Who were these 2 people? Eldad and Medad. Where did they come from? Says the Midrash that I brought you in right next to source number 12. I didn't mark it down as source 13. Just to give you a background first, this Midrash is from what we call Targum Yonatan, which is, or Targum Jonathan, Jonathan's translation into Aramaic of the Torah. As you might be familiar with, the standard translation into Aramaic of the Torah that we follow, the literal translation, was written by Unkelos. Yes, that's the translation that's accepted even in the Gemara as an acceptable Aramaic translation of the Torah. The Gemara tells us that Unkelos wrote a translation into Aramaic on the Chumash, and Yonatan ben Uziel wrote a translation on Navi and Ketuvim, on Nach, the prophets and the writings. Now, there was once an editor who received a manuscript many, many, many years ago of an Aramaic Midrashic translation of the text of the Chumash. Midrashic, I mean that he weaves the Midrash into the story of the Torah. It's like reading the Midrash says, you know, like everything just sort of flows. You can't tell what's Torah, what's Midrash. So this is the manuscript that this editor got, and the abbreviations on the top of the page were Taf Yud, Targum Yerushalmi, the translation written in Israel, the Jerusalem translation. That was the manuscript. Now, this editor knew in his mind already the Gemara that talks about Yonatan ben Uziel having something to do with the translation of some kind of Holy Bible Torah book. So he writes on the top, instead of Taf Yud, so that people would know what it stands for, Targum Yonatan. And that has developed into what we call today Targum Yonatan. In English, however, we refer to it as Pseudo Jonathan, because it's not really written by him. Yonatan ben Uziel did not write a Targum on the Torah. He only wrote it on Nevi'im and Ketuvim. So that's a little academic piece of trivia for you. But this is going to be a drastic interpretation, translation. And my Aramaic isn't great, but here we go. Thus, Tayara Tarayan Guvin, 2 guys stayed, the Mishrita, in the camp. Shemei Dechad Eldad, Ushemei Dechnein Medad. The name of one was Eldad, the name of the other is Medad. Here we go. Benoi, now this part doesn't happen in the text. We don't know who Eldad and Medad are, who their father is. Benoi de Elitzafan bar Panach, the children of Elitzafan, the son of Panach. Gialadet le Yocheved, the rat Levi, that Yocheved, the daughter of Levi, gave birth to for him. Vishman Shepatra Amran, Gabra, at the time when Amram, her husband, divorced her. V'nashi bat lei ad la'ili dachat Moshe. Before she gave birth to Moshe. In between Aaron and Miriam's birth, at that point, Aaron divorced his wife, saying, what's the point of bringing future children into the world if we're going to have to kill them? Yocheved, with her foresight and her understanding and her precious, precious feeling of life, married Elishafan ben Parnach, gave birth to two sons, Eldad and Medad, at which point Amram remarried her, and then she had Moshe. But Eldad and Medad, who were able to get Nebuah to prophesy in the middle of the camp. This is who Yocheved is. Yocheved is this forward-thinking woman who understands the future of the Jewish people and the preciousness of life.
So they didn't have Nebuah when they were born?
Who?
Eldad
and
Medad.
They weren't born, nobody's born a Navi.
Well, they didn't have it.
Look
down
at the Rambam. You can look at the Rambam. Nobody's born a Navi. You need to prepare in order to be a Navi.
Yeah, okay.
You have to have both the natural inclination.
Were
and
they teachers?
We don't know anything about them beyond this isolated story, which is what the Midrash is trying to say. I mean, were they really actually the children of? I don't know. Did it really happen? I don't know. But that's not the point.
No, I know.
The point is that this is what Yocheved was.
Yeah,
this is the kind of person Yocheved was, this forward-thinking person. And we'll see in 2 weeks that Miriam really takes this, really has the same quality of her mother. And while Yocheved does it in a quiet sort of background way, Miriam is very much more forceful and does it in a very forward, out there way. Same quality. So have a wonderful week.
Do you think this is 70 for the Sanhedrin because that was the number?